Well, let's get started, and I'll open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time in your word. Lead us and guide us. May we have a closer walk with you because of hearing your word. We just thank you for this opportunity and your precious son and the word you gave us. We thank you and praise you. Amen. I'd like to thank you all for your prayers, too, for me while I was sick. I'm doing a whole lot better, and so thank you very much. In our lessons on worship, we looked at worship is the one essential activity that must take precedence over every other duty of life. I'll repeat that. Worship is the one essential activity that must take precedence over every other duty of life. In Psalm 27:4, we looked at David's one thing I have asked from the Lord, and that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. We keyed in on sitting at Jesus' feet daily, looking at God's word. And the last time we met, we looked at worship, what worship is not. It's putting anything we love as more important than God. We looked at the church at large, loving music more than correct biblical teaching of God's word. And today we'll look more at why worship matters. These are some verses that should make us bow down in worship. Psalm 36, 7 through 10. How precious is your loving kindness, O God, and the children of men take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They drink their fill of the abundance of your house, and you give them to drink of the river of your delights. For with you is a fountain of life, and in your light we see light. Oh, continue your loving kindness to those who know you, and your righteousness to the upright in heart. That should truly, as we read that, make us bow down in worship. And Psalm 34, 1 through 3 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. All means all. And his praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Magnifying the greatness of God. Remember when you were a kid and you got out a magnifying glass and really looked close at something? Think about it. You stopped and took time to get the magnifier and to investigate whatever we wanted to look close at. That's what we do when we magnify God. We look at his greatness in his word, look at his greatness all around us. It's there if we only slow down and take time to look. His greatness is seen in a changed life, a life through Christ, spiritual growth in yourself or in others. It's about what God has done in the lives of others. And we see it all over in God's word. Psalm 27:4 says, to behold the beauty of the Lord. Do you take time to ponder, to just sit and ponder God's greatness all around you? To just get a cup of coffee, tea, Dr. Pepper, Mountain Dew, sparkling water, or whatever you like, to just sit and look around you and see what God has put before your eyes, your ears, your nose. He is worthy to be worshipped. The beauty of the light of the morning coming through the front window, casting its shadow upon the floor, seeing the beauty of that light shine on the grain in the wood floor, the naked trees outside with just a little bud coming out, and the excitement of the blooms to come with that bud. The trees in the distance with their layers of branches, the conifers with their pointy shapes, and the deciduous trees with their bulbous form, the frost on the ground sparkling in the sun, and the expectant warmth to come later in the day, the birds flying by, sparrows and little flocks, the geese in their V patterns honking. And how could we leave out that little hummingbird just darting by like a miniature fighter plane? All this displays God's glory and greatness if we only take time to ponder on him and what he has made. Psalm 150, verse 6 says, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." Worship wherever you are, and you will see God's greatness. Psalm 40, verse 5 says, "Many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders which you have done, and your thoughts toward us. There is none to compare with you. If I would declare and speak of them, they would be too numerous to count." Do you take time to quiet your soul daily as you ponder on God? Or do you have a frantic heart that you just can't seem to slow down? Do we let the cares of this world and the distractions of this world lose our focus on worshiping Christ? Do we need to get our heart, mind, and soul seated at Jesus' feet and his word, or are we going to be easily distracted like Martha in Luke 10 and serving in the wrong spirit? Remember, we're to keep developing a higher and higher view of how great our God is. Is your cup overflowing, or is it only half full? Worship is centered around the Word of God and the power of the cross. That is why we have an empty cross at the front and center of the church. And that is why the pulpit is front and center and up in the church, to have a high view of Christ's death he paid for our sin, and to lift high his word. That's why our songs we sing need to be grounded in Scripture, songs that are to develop in us a high view of God. Songs are meant to sing God's praise. Would your neighbors, friends, relatives see or hear that song in your heart? How's your worship in your sphere of influence? Would your family, friends, neighbors, co-workers say of you, "That's a man or a woman who worships God"? They have a high view of the God they serve. Do our actions and words point others to the God we serve? How high is the view we have of our God? Psalm 34:1 says, "I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth." We're to have a godly mindset. Remember where our mind is to be set: on things above. This truly affects our worship. Deuteronomy 6:5, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your might." This is all day, every day. It's how we live. It's your daily worship of God. Remember, worship matters. We're to be salt and light to a dying world. And from the Salt and Light Conference sermon title, "Having a Godly Posture in a Hostile World," we're a threat to the thinking of the world. For Titus 3, 1 and 2, it says, "Remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to obedient, ready for every good deed, to malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for all men." That's a totally different picture of the worldview. We are to be salt and light. Our worship and high view of God matters. Ed Oss in February showed us the Puritans And he gave us a list, their self-check of their daily worship. And it said, have I been fervent in prayer? Was there warmth? Have I practiced God's presence at least every hour? Have I, before every deliberate action or conversation, considered how it might be turned to God's glory? Have I sought to center conversation on other persons' interests and needs and ultimately toward God? Or did I turn it to my own interests? Have I given thanks to God after every pleasant occurrence or time? Have I thought or spoken unkindly of anyone? Have I been careful to avoid proud thoughts or comparing myself to others? Have I done things for appearances? And have I been sensitive, warm, and cheerful toward everyone? This is setting your mind on things above. Your worship of God matters in your life. Remember, people are watching your worship of God. Where are you pointing them? Are we helping others to know we value Christ and his work on the cross above all else? Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and a holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. Worship is daily. Worship is submission. Worship is bowing down before God in humility. Worship is a contrite heart. Psalm 34, 18 says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Isaiah 57, 15, for thus says the high and exalted one who lives forever, whose name is holy. I dwell on a high and holy place, and also with the contrite and lowly of spirit, in order to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. Contrite heart, submission, humility are key to worship. Notice if we read further in Romans 12:3, for though the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. We're to be humble. So let's take a look at some table time and look at Hannah's worship. You have it there on the back of your note sheet, and we'll get together after a little bit and share our answers. Yeah, her aspects of her view of God was very high. You see a contrite heart in the scriptures there. You see repentance, humility. She boasts in the Lord. No one is holy like the Lord. Bows in humility. And she sees that God is in control. And it's not by man's might. And God will judge. And some of the things they said at our table was humility. She was genuine. Her strength comes from the Lord. She exalts God. She knew who to ask. She had a clear picture of who God is. And she understands God's righteousness. And she's willing to give up her child That's an amazing thing in itself. And she doesn't do it out of, vengeance either. She does it out of trust in God, and that's a very precious thing to see. Here's, she's willing in her worship to give her son, and that's an amazing thing. We see Hannah in verse 127, "For this boy I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I asked of him. So I have dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is dedicated to the Lord." And that's an amazing thing. And so we see that her worship really matters. And because of her worship, we see Samuel growing to be a man of God. And so we see such a contrast of worship in these first five chapters of 1 Samuel. You see in verse 2 to 12, it gives a little perspective of what's going on. It says, "The sons of Eli were worthless men and did not know God." And then 1 Samuel 2:27 says, "And a man of God came to Eli and said to him, 'Thus says the Lord, did I not indeed reveal myself to the house of your father when they were in Egypt in the bondage of Pharaoh's house?'" And so he confronts him and said in verse 29, "Why do you kick at my sacrifice and at my offering, which I have commanded in my dwelling, and honor your sons above me by making yourself fat with the choicest of every offering of my people Israel?" And you compare that with our first lesson, compared to Abraham. In our first lesson, it says, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go offer him as a burnt offering." You have quite a picture of comparison, compared to Abraham and Eli, who did not even honor God by correcting his sons of the evil deeds they were doing in the tent of the meeting. And so we see a picture that your worship really does matter. Remember, Tim Lugg shared the Ten Commandments with us several months ago. "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I am your God." Ed Oast shared with us last time he spoke in Jeremiah 31:33, "I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Ed shared, "You can't have pride and repent." Curtis shared Ephesians 4:4-9, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. Be anxious for nothing, and the peace of God will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Whatever is honorable, right, pure, lovely, good repute, any excellent, praiseworthy, dwell on these things." And verse 9, what does it say? "Practice these things." Practice, practice, practice. I've noticed since I've been retired, it's harder to quickly get down to crawl on the ground. I did it every day, crawling under heavy equipment, up and down, many times a day. It was an example to me in Ephesians 4:9 about practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. You got to ask yourself, are you keeping yourself spiritually fit by the daily practice of humbly kneeling at the cross, confessing our sins regularly, and submitting to God, coming before him with a contrite heart? Being that living sacrifice talked about in Romans 12:1-2, a bond slave to Christ. And only by kneeling before the cross daily in practice can we carry our cross daily, as Christ said. Remember, it's denying self, falling before Christ in worship. Remember, you never see a picture of pride in true worship. Philippians 2:4-15 has such a picture of humility in it. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not in and not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. And here's the purpose clause: so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. Your worship really does matter. So we have a little extra time, so why don't you take a couple minutes, and I'll come up and close in prayer in a few minutes. But why don't you talk together at your tables and share your favorite stories in the Word of God about worship that you enjoy, okay? And we'll get back in a few minutes. Well, let's close in prayer. I hope you guys had some interesting talks about some of your favorite stories about worship in the Word of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can bow down and worship you. Help us to have contrite hearts. Help us come before you in humility. May we look to you in all things. And may we daily bow down and worship you. And help us to shine as lights in a world of darkness. And help us to remember that our worship really does matter, and that people are watching. Help us to point them to you, Lord. We thank you for this time in your word. Teach us this morning from your word also, as we hear John speak, and just prepare our hearts as we hear your word again. Amen.